Once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, Prince Dice, coming to you guys and girls live all the way from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am back in the flesh. Prince Dice is back here, coming back with my first episode that somebody DM'd me about. And I'm definitely glad to be back, you know, here streaming on my YouTube channel. My Facebook page, I had a 90-day suspension there or whatnot. But I came back stronger than ever. And I really got to thank everybody out there, the audience that has grown my platform, even when I was not streaming. And I was not streaming for 90 days. And the platform grew for, I want to say it was about 2,300 on YouTube. So definitely I appreciate all y'all that stopped by and took it live and supporting the podcasts, all the other great stuff. But today, ladies and gentlemen, we got a very interesting topic in the episode. Don't feel free, if you're catching this in live, to stop by and say hello, right? So what I want everybody to do, So what I want everybody to do today is I'm going to talk about not growing money versus making money. But people always ask me, Prince, okay, you're teaching me all this stuff about investing and stocks, and how can I turn this into do something positive with my life? I got a DM. I'm not going to say who the DM was from because maybe they may not want to be seen or me to say anything, but I'm going to say something. Yes, sir. Max B in the building. Yes, sir. We are back, Max B. We are back. You know, we're back stronger than ever, came back stronger than ever. As you can see, this is my new background. This ain't my new background. I brought a house for people out there who didn't know. I brought a house, and this is one of the rooms I'm using right now, but once I get my other room set up, then I will go to my other room. But for now, I'll be here. So, you know, I brought a house while we was gone. I also became an accredited asset management specialist while we were gone from my streaming of YouTube. So definitely, I miss all you guys and girls. Thank y'all for tuning in. So, yes, I always love to have an end goal. People always ask me, okay, what's the so what factor? You know, Prince, you teach me all this stuff. You show me all this stuff. What does that mean? What can I do this? How can I help myself, right? You know, they get Max B, what's going on? Donnie says, eager to gain some knowledge. Okay, Donnie, appreciate it. Mike, and he has returned. Mike, I told you I was going to come back better than ever. Better than ever. Look at that. Congrats. Thanks. Back better than ever, right? We live streaming. We back in here stronger than ever. You know, like for the people that's just catching it, I want to say just a YouTube channel grew up 3,000. You know, Facebook grew a couple thousand, all that. The podcast has been doing great. So I thank everybody that's checking this out, however they may be catching across the globe in the world. And yes, I am back, ladies and gentlemen. But before we get any further, before we get into the topic a little bit more, if you haven't done so already, go ahead and
hit the subscribe button, hit the bell icon, hit that like, comment, and share button.
And you know the only way to read financial reports is with your Investor Show Cup. So people always tell me, hey, Prince, you always talk about investing. You tell me about investing. You talk about investing. So what? You teach me stocks. You teach me how real estate, tax liens, all of the great stuff. So what, Prince? What does that mean? And what I mean by what does that mean is people ask me. So I always ask yourself this question, ladies and gentlemen. Are you here to grow money or make money? There's a difference. And I'm going to tell you guys the difference between growing money and making money, right? You know, Jones Light said, always good to get gain from a pro. I share your videos with all my people. Thank you. Appreciate it, Jones Light. Appreciate that. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's the difference between growing money and making money. If you want to comment on that, y'all can comment, and I'll definitely let you guys and girls know. So grow money versus make money. A person who is growing money, take me for example. I'm someone who's more concerned on growing money. It's the difference between having money versus making money. Now, a person who wants to grow money is someone who is like, hey, I have a job. Okay, one of my buddies, prime example, he hit me up and he said, hey, Prince, I'm saving like $20,000 a year with having my, I got a nice career. I'm able to set aside $20,000 a year, right? Maybe they may have a career, whatever their job is. And what can I do with my money? Now, this person is more interested in growing. They're just like, I'm not really trying to make money because I already have a job or whatever the case is, has cash flow. So they're looking to grow money. Now, people who are looking to grow money, there may be someone who may want to work and use DCA. DCA. Who knows what DCA is? If you follow this channel, you better know what DCA is. So they maybe want to work and use DCA. If somebody who's making $20,000, I didn't pull out my calculator. I should go grab my financial calculator. But if you work and save $20,000 and you just purchase an index fund for the next 10, 15, 20 years, you're going to be well off. You're going to be a millionaire. That's someone who's interested in growing money. Right? I'm just trying to grow some money. I got a bunch of money over here. I'm just trying to grow it. I have a job. I got a stimulus check. How can I grow my money? That's someone who's trying to grow. The other person is trying to make money. There's another person. Hey, Prince, you know, I'm at home. I don't have a job. I don't have anything. I'm trying to make money. What can I do to make money? Now, those are two different people, as you would know. Someone who's trying to grow money versus someone who's trying to make money, right? So now that's going to lead me into today's topic of how you can have a career in finances, right? The number one thing I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you know, the number one thing that people always do, and I'm not going to tell you the number one thing, I'm going to get to that secondly. You can teach others, right? You can make money teaching others. Now, the pros of this is if you're someone who like to teach and you really know what you're talking about, teach, right? The thing bad about teaching, I won't say bad about it, sometimes when people start to teach people about money, they get more concerned on making money than they are teaching people. How many people can I get to sign up for this course? People have been asking me, Prince, where's your course? When are you going to have a course? I love to buy your course. Prince, sell me a course. Why won't you teach me? Teach me, teach me, whatever, right? Now, what you're going to do is, you know, what happens is most people, most guys that I know a lot of guys, not a lot, but I know some people in finance. And as soon as they learn one or two things about option trading, boom, they sell a course to make money, right? And then they try to figure out how can I market this course? But let's look at it. If it takes this hypothetically speaking, why would I spend $5,000 to create a course and then spend $5,000 more to market the course to get you guys and girls to go out there and buy it? Now, I don't made a $10,000 investment. Now, I got to hope you guys and girls go and buy it to make my money back, which I know some of you guys and girls will. But I don't like doing that because more people are focused on selling the product than they are of actually teaching. I can take that same $10,000 and invest it myself, right? So maybe I'm dumb, maybe I'm stupid, maybe I might change in the future, but that's the way I look at it, right? There she is, LK Raw. I think LK Raw, you're a female, right? I'm not sure. So LK Raw, yes. She said, I made a Bitcoin on Apple. Now who remembers, right? You know? And who remembers me talking about when the market was crashing back when I was on here live and everybody was telling me, oh, Prince, what are you doing? Prince, what are you doing? Prince, I'm more worried about, you know, everybody was trying to find a little sneaky company. Oh, Prince, this company is coming up. Prince, this company is coming up. And I say, hey, man, don't be dumb. Get the for show dough. Get the companies that's already making money. The companies that are already making money. Go ahead and get, why won't you get Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google, right? But so many people are trying to find things. So I did too. I have Apple calls. I got June Apple calls that Apple just went crazy last week. LK Ross said, the only teacher of trading stocks is to trade stocks. You can learn just about everything online without buying a course. And she's 100% right, you know, and you're 100% right. Okay, you're a guy. Okay, you're 100% right, right? The only way you're going to learn something, I can teach my son how to drive. I can talk to him all day, but the best way he's going to learn how to drive is by him learning, by him getting out behind that wheel and hopefully him not killing me, right? So I agree with that. Echo said, I'm not a guy. You said, wow. How you doing there, Miss Wakita? Good evening, right? She said, I was here when you said that. You're right. You know, thank you. I appreciate y'all for y'all keeping me honest. Because so many times people love to play Monday night quarterback. Everybody's like, oh, Apple. Everybody should buy Apple. They forget about the man who was saying that like 3-4 months ago. People call into the show, Apple, man. Get it for show though. Get the companies that's already proven, right? So let's get back to it. Some people love to go into teaching others, right? Now I'm going to go ahead and add something in here. Informal. And this is where everybody gets tripped up. Formal education. I'm going to pop this up on your screen. Y'all walk with me today. I got some time. Informal and formal education. Informal and formal education. Informal education is, I don't have my latest book in this room. It's in my other room. But it's a informally educating yourself. Picking up a great book out there. The last book I read, I think the last one was the Charles Payne book that I did. I did a book review on that one. And I did another Buffett financial statement book. But I have another financial statement book that I'm reading, right? That's my informal education. I read a lot of books. Well, it may not be a lot to you guys, but a lot to me for somebody from Waynesboro, Georgia, who don't read that much, right? So informally educate yourself. Buy books. You guys, girls, just like LK Ross said earlier, when I started investing, I could not just log on to YouTube. I'm not that old, but YouTube wasn't really that big. Podcasting wasn't a thing. All I heard was infomercials like, give me your money. That's all it was saying. Give me your money or come to my course. Give me your money, come to my course or whatnot. Nobody was willing to teach me. You guys and girls have the power of social media. You could go on Instagram right now and follow the Investor Show. You could go on Instagram and follow hashtag financial literacy. You can go on Instagram and follow Wall Street. You can go on Facebook and follow me, the Investor Show. I mean, it's plenty of financial people out there that you can follow, right? TD Ameritrade, E-Trade, the Ramseys of the world. So many people. Now, some people, majority are scams, right? I'm going to say that now. But you can go back and you can follow all of that stuff, right? This is informally educating yourself. You can go on Amazon, order books, come to your house, read all type of financial books, plenty of them that are out there. Then once you have all these financial books, you know, now you can go formally get educated. What did I just tell you guys I did? I did AAMS, Accredited Asset Management Specialist. I've gone off and earned, you know, an MBA, Accredited Financial Counselor, Series 65, Series 63, life insurance, health insurance. That's the formal education. But informal, picking up books, utilizing your social media. I'm from a small town of Waynesboro, Georgia. There was nobody growing up that I knew that was buying and selling stocks or investing like that, right? But if I was in Waynesboro, Georgia right now, somebody who was just like me in my little small town where I'm from, they can follow me on Instagram. They can follow me on Facebook. They can DM me to get all type of knowledge. Now, that's the informal part. They can order books. Sometimes I give away so many books on this show, right, that you could just say, boom, I tuned into the show. I wish I can buy everybody a book, but I ain't at that point in life right now. So you guys and girls can go buy all type of books and buy the books and do what? Flip through the pages, you can get yourself informally educated. Now you can go online and you can get yourself formally educated, right? You can go online and get so many courses formally educated. So seek informal and formal education. So now let's get back to it. Some people love to teach others. Now, sometimes some people DM me. Now, this is where the line gets a little thin. Like I told you, I'm not crazy about a course, but people DM me all the time. I get so many DMs about random questions, emails, all those things like that. Some people want to talk to me on the phone. Some people want me to Skype them. And that's when you have to charge. You can't just take your time over and over and over and over. You're going to have to. I mean, I don't care how good you are, but if you're that good, you're going to be sought out. Become the best at what you do, and you'll always be in demand. Be the best at whatever you're doing, and you'll always be the man. Shout out to Patrick Bet Davis putting that out. That's where I saw that from. But when you're good at what you're doing, people call me all the time. People DM me all the time. People text me all the time. People want to talk to me. I can't talk to everybody on the phone at the same time, right? So then you're going to have to charge to teach other people. But the same thing, I done made a million videos, podcasts, episodes, showing people. That's the difference between this platform and every other platform. A lot of platforms like to get on and talk about it, which is cool. But I love to show you. I show you how to buy an option from start to finish. I show you how to buy a stock from start to finish. I'm not saying it's the best in the world, but I do the best I can do. I teach you how to buy a penny stock. I teach you how to buy an ETF. I teach you how to buy a mutual fund. What is a mutual fund? What is an ETF? What is a stock? What about real estate? How to buy tax liens? How to buy land online? I actually go through. I don't talk about it. This is the platform that shows you exactly how I do it online. I don't really like being live too much on my face, but that's the number one way. Now, before we get into the next topic, let me see what y'all said in these comments, you know. Who we got here? Yeah, okay, Ross, I was here when you said that. How do you say that country? Well, thank you. I can't say your name, Kokoswa B, for checking us out from overseas. That's nice. We're overseas. And we got, oh, he said, well done, bro. Appreciate that, John Paul. John Paul Forex. We're going to get into that, too. I'm thinking FX stands for Forex. Miss Amanda, good evening. How you doing, Miss Amanda? Ashley Neal, we're back. I remember Ashley. Ashley's from the Bay. Ashley Neal from the Bay. How you doing, Miss Ashley? Thank you for tuning in. He said, Apple is splitting stocks, though. We're going to get into Apple splitting those stocks. He said, I'm trying to get a piece of that. Apple is splitting stocks. Where he says, we got 30 days. Can you please explain how the splitting stocks work? We're going to get into that, too. We'll talk about that. I can't wait for Apple 4-to-1 split. All right. What is a stock split? A stock split, what happens with a stock split? Right now, Apple is at $400. Remember when we was on the show? I was on the show, Apple was at $200, and everybody was like, is it going to go to $300? And I told everybody, hey, just buy a $300 call for June of next year. And now we're at $400. We're over $400, right? So now we're over $400. This is why I'm not a genius or, oh, I told you so, I know something. No. The thing about it is, the thing about it is, when you look at the stock splits, when you look at a stock, Apple was at $700. Back in 2014, Apple traded for $700. And you think Apple is worth more in 2020 or in 2014? They're worth more now, and they was trading for $200. So I knew it was undervalued already, right? So that's why, you know, I don't pick them all right. You know, I don't pick them all right. I mean, but all the companies done well. Amazon has done awesome. Tesla's done crazy, a little too crazy, but Tesla's done crazy. Apple has done well. Microsoft has done well. All those companies done well, you know? Here we go. So now, how does it work? We got 30 days. How can you explain the stock splitting? So right now, if you own one share of Apple, Apple trading for $400. So what the company is doing, they're saying if you have one share, we're going to turn it into four shares. So let's say, I think Wesley owns Apple. I think Wesley's my son, for people who don't know. Wesley owns Apple. He owns Apple for $400, right? I think they're worth about $400. I think he, I don't know how many shares he got. He got a couple of shares, you know. I know he got, I know he at least got one share of Amazon. He does own Tesla. Tesla's in Wesley's portfolio. Amazon is in there. McDonald's is in there. I don't want to go down that list. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, so if you own one share of Apple, what's going to happen is that one share is going to turn into four shares. So if you own one share for $400, come Monday, I think the stock splits in like in 30 days. I think on the 24th of August. So guess what's going to happen? That stock for $400 is going to go down to $100. You're going to have four shares worth $100, creating more shares. It's going to create more shares. And the big thing is it's going to make buying Apple more attainable. So people who stayed away from Apple because it was $400, $500, $600, $700, they stayed away from it. But if they split the stock, it's more cheaper and it's attractive. It's not worried about the everyday person maybe buying it, but hedge funds and pension funds and things like that, they can afford more shares. Think about it, right? It's portfolios that I know of that only had about $300 in it. With $300, I couldn't afford a share of Apple. So I didn't buy Apple. I may go off and buy Disney, or I went and bought Microsoft because I couldn't afford Apple. I only had $300. Apple was trading for $380 at the time, right? So guess what? Now that Apple splits, more people can afford it and it's more obtainable now. So it makes the stocks cheaper, you know? It makes the stocks cheaper or whatnot. It makes the stocks cheaper and more obtainable. So that's one positive. Do I think the stock splits are going to go up? Yes. But stock splitting to me is not as, it doesn't mean as much because, yes, you can trade the stock for cheaper now. But the bad part about it is, you can buy stock cheaper for, so what you call it, right? If you got the Cash App, I think Robinhood allow you to do fractional shares. You can still invest in Apple without the $300, $400. So if you have four shares, I mean, if you got one share of Apple, it's going to turn into four shares. Instead of being for $400, it's going to be $100. So you're going to have immediate value? No, they're splitting their stock prices down, right? 4-to-1. Like I think I know at least one of my, I have a call option on Apple for $400, you know? So this is, that's a big thing about stock splitting. As an investor, I've already had owned Apple. If I had one share, now I have four shares. Instead of it being $400, now it's $100. I have a call option on Apple at $400. When they're going to do an option change, I think it's called something match. But what they're going to do, instead of that being a 400 strike price, the strike price is going to turn into 100, right? He said, you're right about charging people. I'm always giving advice and reading candles for free. Get fed up. But if I have always given it for free, hard to say no. Yes, that's depending on you. You know, with me, for example, I don't charge people. You know, if you DM me and I don't feel like responding, I don't. Some people ask me questions. And I used to be that way. I used to be like, man, I got like 10 questions in my DM. And I'd be going through every question, trying to get to every single person and whatever the case may be. I'm like, I'm not getting paid for that. I mean, I appreciate it, but I don't. Some people give me that explanation. I don't have time. If you have time for it, you do it. If you don't have time for it, you don't do it, right? But you got to be very careful in the financial industry when you hold license about what's the difference between a recommendation and what's the difference between advice, right? You got to be very careful with that. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I don't skipped over somebody's stuff. Ronnie said, winner of Panda Hoodie. Winner of Panda Hoodie. I don't know what that means. All right. Michael says, something that I've learned since the pandemic. This is Mike out of Canada, right? Michael says, something I've learned since the pandemic is that the market and the economy are two different things. He's right, right? Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Let's walk down the economical path of what happened during the pandemic. When everybody was writing me saying, Prince, should I sell? Should I buy? Whatever, right? This is the difference. Something that I've learned since the pandemic is that the market and the economy are two different things. So what he means by that, why is gold going up when the stock market is going up? What is the difference? Everybody's here, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, all of the good stuff. The difference is, I believe gold is telling us what's really going on, and stocks are telling us what the Fed is doing. Y'all hear me again. Gold is telling us what's really going on. Stocks are telling us what the Fed is doing. How is that a difference, Prince? Because gold usually doesn't rise when stocks are rising. You're seeing gold hit all-time high, silver's hitting an all-time high. That only happens when you see stocks going down. But I'm stretching my head. I was a big gold holder for a while, but I didn't like the fact that gold was moving with the economy. I didn't like that. I was like, I got gold to hedge. So I went to bonds. I made a video about that. I went to bonds over gold, right? So I think that what I mean by that is, Prince, what do you mean gold and economy? So you got to remember, we had all these big stimulus checks, and I try to make all these videos, and I don't use any media outlets. I go to what the Federal Reserve says. I go to what companies are saying, right? The federal government came out and told you through their corporate bond buying program that they was going to buy $2 trillion or a couple billion dollars of corporate bonds. They're going to buy corporate bonds. They're buying corporate debt. They're going to the market. This is a way to push money into corporations without anybody really knowing it, right? So when I saw that, that's what made me maintain being bullish, thinking the market was going to go up. So the economy, they're pumping money into the economy. They're printing money. They're pumping it. They got the PPP loans. Think about it. The unemployment numbers are not real, because guess what? All the airline companies, and I did recordings on this, nobody in the airline company can lay off anybody until September 30th, right? On October 1st, unless they extend it, that's when the airlines can lay people off. So it's really people that are going to be unemployed that are not unemployed right now because of what? The stimulus package. Also, why aren't there any foreclosures happening? Why don't you see people talking about my foreclosure? This happened with this foreclosure. You don't see any foreclosures because part of the stimulus package was forbearances. Who know what forbearances are? Forbearances is that people who have people who have houses, they cannot be foreclosed upon. So now you're stopping people from being foreclosed. You're stopping companies from laying people off. If they receive a PPP loan, they can't lay off. So I can't lay off. I can't put people out their houses. So that props up the economy. Plus, I'm buying corporate bonds. So the stock market is a lot of manipulation due to the federal government. That's what the Fed does. They lower interest rates to an all-time low. They did these bond buying programs. They pushed all this money into the stock market. But at the same time, you got gold rising. Why is gold rising? The gold is telling you exactly what's really going on. Everybody is scared. People are kind of moving away from stocks. People are kind of scared of stocks. So the people are kind of putting their money into gold and silver. That's why you see these big things running. You'll find out a lot come August 15th. So you're right, Mike. I agree with that. The market does not reflect with the economy, vice versa. Kind of just got into that. Oh, Mimi says, lots of love from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Appreciate that, Fort Lauderdale. Thank you for explaining virtually. Virtual hug. All right, appreciate it. Doesn't dilute the shares, Max B. I think he's talking about the stock split. Cool. I forgot how to say your name. He said, salute, Prince. I never miss your videos. You taught me a lot about financial literacy. And he knew I was going to mess his name up, so he went ahead and put the funny alphabet on here. Petrie forever. What's going on? I think Petrie is from Arizona, Phoenix. Let me know if I'm right on that, Petrie. You know. Oh, did he wrote it here? I'm right. He said, from Phoenix, by the way. See, I already knew it before he even said it. So, yeah, Petrie, man, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I tried to put out more content while I was gone. Hopefully, y'all enjoyed that. Appreciate that love. Michael, gold is telling us what's going on, and the stocks are telling us what the feds are doing. Brilliant. Hey, Mike, you know what? I got to screenshot this because I got to have my buddy make a meme of this. So, y'all going to see this on my Instagram. I'll screenshot that, Mike. Yeah, gold is telling us what's really going on, and the stocks are telling us what the feds are doing. Oh, I like that. I like that. Sometimes I say stuff that makes sense, make me sound kind of cool. Appreciate that, Mike. Now, let's get back into it. Now, some people can work while you're working at your job. Let's say you flip burgers at Burger King, or you got a government job, whatever it is, or you're a school teacher. Or you could be already a millionaire. Let me tell you something about millionaires. If I can sit here and tell you how many guys are professional athletes that have called me during this time trying to find ways to make money. Prince, how can I make money? Because they've stopped playing basketball. Or if you don't have a guaranteed contract, you're not getting paid. So these guys are not getting paid. So they're trying to find ways to make money. I'm like, what? Your last contract was $3 million. Yeah, I got millions in the bank, but guess what? I'm living off that millions. I want money to come in to replace the money that I'm living off of. So some people, if you're working, the smartest thing you can do, you can work and invest. Work and invest. If you got $20,000 to put to the side a year, you do that for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you're going to be in a very, very nice place, right? This is someone who's trying to grow their money. Dollar cost averaging is DCA, dollar cost averaging. Hey, you know what? I'm a school teacher, but guess what? Every time I get paid, I buy a little bit of, I may get a NASDAQ ETF tracker and I may call it a day, right? They don't have to go out there and buy all the stocks and the portfolios and good stuff like that, right? Now we're going to talk about people who love to make money. What else can I do with this? You can become a financial professional. Prince, what do you mean by becoming a financial professional? It goes back to that formal education. You could become a financial advisor. You can go to school. You don't have to earn a big finance degree. You can go earn an MBA. You could earn a Series 65, Series 63. You can get a life insurance. You could start your own firm or start with another firm, manage your assets, become a portfolio manager, right? Maybe you learn something through your formal and informal education. Your family might trust you. My dad was the first account I ever managed. My dad gave me $1,000. Like 4 or 5 years ago or something like that. And he gave me $1,000 like 4 or 5 years ago. Like, son, you know, he's old. He's not going to go. He was like, I see what you're saying about buying a stock. So, you know, I don't know how to do that. Would you buy it for him? I said, Dad, I can. But my dad is 74 years old. He's not about to get on a computer and open up an account and try to. That's not him. He is in a position to where he has enough income to where he can live his life. So he said, okay, well, what if I just give you the money? You do it for me. I said, all right, well, I guess so, right? And I did it for my dad. And I want to say the last time I looked at that account, that money had doubled, right? He said, with $1,000, I want to say it's about $2,000 now. And I let him know the other day. I said, Dad, you know that money you gave me like all those years ago? And I brought a bunch of Verizon stocks at the time. And then I switched it over and I brought some other stuff here there. So, you know, it's like $2,000 over there. And he was blown away by that because usually he just puts his money in the savings, a savings account. So you can start that. You can become a portfolio manager, get all your license, all your certifications, and you could become, that's a formal career path that you can do if you really like finance, right? You can become a CFA, which is a chartered financial analyst, right? Or you could become a CFP, certified financial planner. You know, and there's so many other professional certifications that you can earn, but you could make it you can make it a career. You don't have to get any education and manage friends and families and stuff like that. You know, you may have to have a, you have to have a license to manage, you know, depending on your situation. People give you power of attorney to manage their family. You can start a investment group with your friends, right? Start an investment group with your friends and y'all pile money together. Y'all start a limited liability, not a limited liability, but a limited partnership. Y'all start a partnership. Y'all officially started. You put money in there and maybe y'all may buy stocks. Y'all may buy real estate. Y'all may buy whatever the case may be. You can buy YouTube channels, right? People are buying YouTube channels. People are selling their YouTube channels. People are selling podcasts. It's crazy, right? Miss Marlene, how you doing? She is from Miami. What's going on? Good evening, Miss Marlene. Mimi said, make it a shirt for your merch shop and I'll buy it. Yeah, you're right. That you're right. Gold is telling you what's really happening and the stocks are telling you what the feds are doing. With that quote you said about the gold and the feds. Mike says, what do you think about Tesla rise? They are around 1500 lolly based on futures, especially opposed to results. Mike, you remember me doing a show on it. You out there in Canada and you definitely remember me doing a show on that when I was talking about Tesla meteoric rise. It's gone crazy. I'm going to tell you what I did. I had brought a share of Tesla at about $600. Then it went up to $700. Then it went crazy. It went to $900. Then it came down to $700. I think I sold it at $700. Then I got it again at $700 or whatever. And then it just went just berserk. It went to $900. Then it was $1,000, $1,100. You know, these last quarter, Tesla's gone crazy. Now, the thing about Tesla, look at their last earnings. They dropped 11% after their earnings. I brought a share Tesla for my son. I think it was around $1,400 when Tesla dropped after the earnings. I said, you know what? They had strong earnings. Tesla came out with strong earnings. The big thing I saw about Tesla, Tesla is leaving California and going to Texas. For people who don't know what that means, California has some of the highest taxes in the country. California and New York, right? I don't know why or how people start businesses in California. People told me, hey, Prince, you need to go to L.A. That's where everybody's at. Man, please. You see them state taxes? Taxes are crazy. I lived in San Diego for a while in the military, and the taxes there are ridiculous compared to other states. Texas is the most tax-friendly state in the country. I even think about going to Texas sometimes, right? Texas has little to no, they have no state tax. They're very military-friendly. So by Elon Musk just moving his factory, building his next factory in Austin, Texas, look how much money he's going to save. Look, all that's going to become a profit. All that money he was putting in California. So hats off, moving to Austin, Texas. Very smart. If I had a mega company like that, all those taxes you pay in California, moving to Texas, that's automatic profit. The second thing is every Tesla is on the basketball court. Tesla has a big name in the electronic space. See, one thing they don't put on balance sheets, they don't tell you how much your brand is worth. Nowhere on the balance sheet it says Coca-Cola name is worth $5 billion. It don't say that. That's something where people miscalculate. Think about it, right? If I decide I want to buy me an electrical car, what kind of car am I going to buy, right? What kind of car am I going to buy? I'm going to buy the car. If I want to buy myself a car, right, what kind of car am I looking at? If I want to buy an electrical car, the biggest name, the only name that's relevant is Tesla. That itself is worth money. The name Elon Musk is worth money. The name Tesla itself is worth a crap ton of money. That's why. This is when I look at their meteoric rise, and then I saw the earnings. They had the earnings to back up the meteoric rise. The stock fell 11%. I saw that it was a buying opportunity at $1,400. That's my take. Am I crazy about Tesla? Not very crazy, but I can't sit back. Tesla got a lot of government policies. It has a lot of money that the government is giving it. Why this thing is up so high? I look crazy with this thing this high. I just noticed that. Oh, yeah, I should do it the other way, right? There we go. Here we go. Just adjust my microphone there a little bit. Boom. So that's what I kind of think of Tesla. I'm not a crazy fan of it. I'm not going over the board with it, but I'll put something for my 9-year-old son. In 10 years from now, where would Tesla be for my 9-year-old son? Tesla brought solar panels. They brought the Solar City. I was looking at getting solar panels put on my house. Decided not to do it because of opportunity costs, but that's another thing, right? Right? So now let's go back to it. Now, the people who love to make money, these are the people who love to make money. You can day trade. You can be a day trader. You got to have $25,000 in your account, or supposed to. There are ways to work around it. But you, in order to be a day trader, you got to have $25,000 in your account. And with that $25,000, you can buy and sell stocks, right? You know, people buy and sell stocks every day. Now, the downside to this is a day trader, only 8% of day traders are very successful. Yes, you're going to have people that tell you they know how to day trade and they're the best day traders in the world. And they want to sell you their course and blah, blah, blah. I've done it all. I've day traded before. I've forex trade, option trade. I've done regular investing, dividend investing. I've tapped around a lot of everything when it comes down to finances, all the other great stuff, right? So when I look at day trading, forex, right, versus option trading, these are the people who can generate income. Like if you sit at home, you don't do anything else, this is ways for you to make money, right? You can day trade. You can use Forex, which is the foreign exchange, trading currencies. Option trading, using derivatives, betting on the stock at a certain price. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the most riskiest thing you can do. Only the top brass can do this in the world. Because if I knew how to Forex and make $10,000 a day or $5,000 a day, Forex trading, I wouldn't be wasting my time trying to sit here and sell you a course on how you can do it. And let's be honest, it's only the elites can do that consistently on a daily basis. Yes, if you day trade, you forex, you option trade, yes, you're going to win some. But 9 times out of 10, you're going to end up netting a loss. You're going to win $1,000 a day. I know people who make $10,000 in a day. I made a lot of money option trading, right, in a particular day. I know that all the time, right? But at the end of the day, most of the everyday person, I cannot go out here and tell an everyday person, hey, all you got to do is just do this and do that. And with my system, you're going to guarantee to win. If it was that easy, nobody would be at work right now. Then on top of that, you got to acknowledge, if day trading was so smooth and easy like that, why do companies go public? Companies go public. Companies are on the stock market to make money. They're going to, you know, it's a big bank. They're going in there. They take the company public so I can make money. I'm not going in to give you my money. So if everybody can just log on to E-Trade and day trade and forex trade and option trade and just make all this wild sums of money, then the economy would crash. So majority of people, let's be honest with you, majority of people are more concerned with selling you their course or their book or whatever the case may be, rather than give you the real knowledge. So when I see those things like, oh, let me teach you how to make this, 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 and this. Yes, you can. They're not lying. But to consistently do that is very, very difficult. The person who gets up every day in option trade is only the elites. Other elites can do that over on a consistent basis. Yes, you have a good day. You have a good week. You have a good month. But the likelihood that you're going to be able to consistently do that is very elite. Now, you could be the elite person that's tuning in, listening to this now, and you could give it a try, but just be mindful and be smart. There are some people that I know who've been to Vegas. Let me know if you give me a thumbs up if you've been to Vegas before. There are people who know how to go into Vegas, and they know how to gamble money, and they know how to make money off the crap table. Now, I've gone to plenty of casinos. I don't know how many casinos I've been to, but I've been to Vegas on a few occasions. I've gone to the crap table and I made some great money. I won some chips. But throughout my time in Vegas, guess what? I gave those chips right back, right? And when you look at it, there's some people who know how to go in there. They know how to sit at that crap table and they know how to make a crap ton of money. And then there's some people who don't know how to do much, but 98% of the people that go to the casino are going to be donators. They're going to be donating money over time. Yeah, they're going to roll and win some. They're going to roll and win here, there. Some people, I know people who won $30,000 in one night, then turn around 2 weeks later, gave it all back. That's majority of this section here. Some people know how to Forex. Some people know how to option trade. Some people know how to day trade. But majority of people, yes, they will make money. And 90% of those ads you guys are seeing and people telling you how they're making all this money, it just don't make sense. If everybody was taking money out like that and it was that easy, then everybody and their mama would be doing it and whatever. And I wouldn't be sitting here trying to sell you a course on how to do it. I'd be too busy making millions, right? So can you do it? Yes. Should you give it a try? Only under the fact that you understand that you're playing a loser's game. Just like when I go to the casino, I don't go to the casino to like, oh, this is my mortgage. I'm going to go play at the casino with my mortgage. No, I set aside some money to throw away. And I will go in there. If I turn around and made some money, great. But guess what? What I mean by you're going to make money but net losses, I've gone to the casino one day, me and my wife in Vegas, and one night I go downstairs in a hotel. All the hotels are casinos. I go down there and I may make $300. I'm like, man, I made $300. And I go buy dinner or whatever the case may be. Then I go back down to that table since I got the lucky hand. And then I go out there and give it all back. So I wouldn't go in there thinking, but some people can do it, but some people can't. So just be mindful of that. But that's another way people can make money, right? All righty. Let's see here. Michael said, where is the mug? Look in the description box. It's on all the YouTube videos. You're going to see the Investor Show mug. It's the only way to read your financial reports. Sound like an infomercial. Ladies and gentlemen, I used to have a hard time understanding stocks. I'm going to tell you something right now. 95% of people who invest don't know anything about financial reports. 95% of the people who invest don't know anything about financial reports. Find somebody who buys stocks and say, hey, man, what's a 10Q report? What's a 10K? Oh, okay. What a 10K? Yeah, you know what a 10K is? No, most people get up and read CNBC. They read the headline of CNBC and they think they know everything, right? They don't even know where CNBC got that from. So most people don't know anything about financial reports. But ever since I started using my Investor Show mug that you can get right now at the link below, man, and reading Investor Show became so much, reading financial reports became so much easier. I'm joking. I don't want nobody to come sue me because I told them they brought my mug and they don't know how to read and they can't read a financial report. It's just jokes, ladies and gentlemen. But if you want to support me, grab a mug. If you want to support me, grab my book series. I tell people, don't donate to me, support me. Don't donate to me, support my craft, support my work. Don't just give me something. I put products out there. Donate to the products, right? So that's how I look. Appreciate it. Oh, look at this. Look at somebody. Speaking of tactical headlamp with a strap. Funny name, but he just donated me $10. And he said, I appreciate what you do, man. I appreciate it, man. But, you know, I don't look for, you know, like I said, instead of donating to me, check out the description boxes. Go get the children book series. Wesley Learns to Invest. Wesley Learns About Credit. Wesley Learns About Insurance. If you already got it, give it to you, and you read it, give it to your friends, give it to your cousins, go to Amazon, leave a review, go on my Facebook page, show some love on Instagram, something like that. That's what helps me create more. I definitely appreciate you donating to me, but I'm okay in life. I mean, thank God I'm blessed enough in life to where I don't need somebody's donations, but I would rather you support me. That'd mean way more to me when I get my sales report to show people showing me love. I'd rather people support my products. Let y'all know Wesley Learns About Real Estate is on the way 2021. But I definitely think that, man. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Appreciate that, man. Love moved too soon. Should have got a mug. Yeah, I know, right? I'd rather you would have got a mug. I'd rather you would have got the children, you know. And if you get the mug, put a picture up, tag me in it. I definitely put you on our thing. And I appreciate y'all's support. Kendrick Taylor said, YouTube letting you live again. I'm back, man. I was in prison for 90 days. I did my 90 days. Maybe some people don't feel like it, but it was 90 days from May to August. I did my 90 days on probation. And I'm back on YouTube now. I did my probation. I'm out, you know. So I appreciate that. He said, Tactical with a Headline said, I'll check them out. I get on Amazon. Appreciate it. Yeah, definitely. They're on Amazon, audiobooks, ebooks, hardcovers, paperbacks. The links are down in the description box. Appreciate y'all's support. Now, you got day traders. Hold on. Somebody said something about it. I skipped over somebody's comments. I'm sorry. I skipped down. Sophia, let's say, hey, Prince, would you buy Tesla stock now? What do you think? Now, that's a hard question. I don't know your financial backing. Like, how much money do you got? If I only had $1,500, heck no, right? If I only had $2,000, heck no, right? But if you got $100,000 and you're looking at getting one or two shares, then I would consider, right? For my son, let me tell you my thought process. My son is 9 years old. You know, I don't plan on touching his account until at least another decade, right? And I look at it like, okay, well, you know, his account is worth a couple $1,000s, right? And I look at it and say, hey, within 10 years, within the next decade, right now, every day I wake up and say, man, I'm looking at something that my son would be proud of me for, right? So I looked at, I had the money there to invest into it. I looked at the risk versus reward. A decade from now, where would Tesla be? Tesla's going to be in Amazon position a decade from now. Because one, more people are allowed to invest. More people are wild and crazy about Tesla. Tesla is very aggressive. Tesla got a lot of crazy backing from the government. The government is giving Tesla all type of money to create stuff. So, and Tesla has a long way to grow, a long way to go. Far as it's a baby in the industry. Now, I don't see Tesla charging stations. I only see Tesla charging stations in big cities right now. Big, highly populated areas. Tesla still has to get to the point to where they're everywhere, right? They need to be charging stations like their gas stations. And when I look at gas, our dependency are going to go slower and slower away from gas. And I think that Tesla, they're not here to participate. They are here to dominate. There's a difference between, like, look at Uber. Uber is not trying to participate. Uber is trying to dominate. And that's what Tesla's trying to do. Does Ford has an electric car? Yes. Are the other electric car companies kind of emerged? Yes. But it's that brand of Tesla. It's what's driving people crazy. Think about it. They launch a rocket off. They got SpaceX. They launch a rocket and they say Tesla. People brains go like, look at what Tesla's going. They're going to the moon. Branding. What other companies launching rockets into the air? Even though it had nothing financially to do with the company. But that depends, Sophia Lee. How much money do you got? Where's your money at? All that good stuff. Ronnie said, day trade, I don't do it. Smart man. Okay, thumbs up. Appreciate that. Petrie for life. He said the mug. Yeah, I know, right? Yes, I'm back. Let me see here. Somebody said, where we at? I'm trying to find my spot. He said, Berkshire has lost a lot of investors' confidence. Berkshire is an old school company. Most people that buy Berkshire Hathaway. Berkshire is not a sexy company at all. It's a big company. It's huge. But here we go, Michael. Do some research, Michael. Ask me this question. Who is the largest shareholder in Apple? Ladies and gentlemen, who is the largest shareholder in Apple? Y'all let me know. Who is the largest shareholder in Apple? I want to see somebody comment below. Look it up. Find out who it is. Who is the largest shareholder in Apple? I'll give me 1 second. I want y'all to comment. Who's the largest shareholder in Apple? Since everybody's talking about Apple, Apple splitting, Apple is this and Apple is that, who's the largest shareholder in Apple? Here we go. There we go. I see it. So, Michael, you're right. Warren Buffett. Kendrick, you're right. Berkshire. Everybody said, you know, Melanie said, your mentor, you know, say that. I believe they added it. I believe they added recently. No, they did not add it recently. They added Berkshire. Berkshire put $25 billion into Apple 2 years ago. They put $25 billion into Apple 2 years ago. Now, how do I know this? I was at the shareholders meeting. I saw Tim Cook. I saw the CEO of Apple, Tim Cook, at Berkshire shareholders meeting. And he came there because Todd, the guy who I met, Todd, who is now the CEO of Geico, put $25 billion into Apple and became the largest shareholder about 2 years ago. It wasn't this year. I think it was last year, about 2 years ago, Berkshire put like $25 billion into Apple. So just do the math. If you put $25 billion into Apple 2 years ago, how much is that worth today? Nobody talks about who's the largest shareholder in Apple, huh? But everybody talk about how great Apple just went up 10% by itself yesterday. So just yesterday alone, Berkshire made $2 billion. Just yesterday alone, just by the stock going up. And that company, the headquarters of Berkshire, is like the size of my house. I think my house is maybe bigger than Berkshire headquarters. Nah, I won't go that far. But small little company in this one little room, you know, upstairs, you know, or whatever. Look at that. You're right, Melanie. Buffett. They are the largest shareholder, just Apple alone. I'm not even getting to the rest of the portfolio. They put billions into Apple years ago. Just let that marinate. So when people are like, man, and they lost a lot of people's confidence. Don't go by the article. I always tell you, ladies and gentlemen, and how can you find that out? How can you find out who owns the shares in the company? Who told y'all that? Who told y'all how to show? Who showed y'all how to do that? Well, I'm not saying I did, but I want to know who showed you. He said, no, YouTube came back. I'm back now. He said, you know, so Michael said Berkshire lost a lot of investors' confidence. They lost investors' confidence who don't know how to read, right? So everybody get to jumping on Apple. Ooh, Apple. But they don't look and see who owns majority of the Apple shares. It's Berkshire Hathaway, right? They're making a crap ton. That's just off of Apple. They own Geico, the largest insurance company provider in the world. It's just not a sexy company. Berkshire is not a sexy company. It's not like, ooh, you know, Tesla is sexy. Berkshire is not sexy. Its stock just does this. And Berkshire has a cult following. Like, people who own Berkshire stocks just hold them and they forget about them. They tuck them in their pants somewhere and forget about them. Like my son. I made my son a Berkshire holder years ago because I would look like an idiot 10 years from now. My son gets to walk into this room and see me with all this Berkshire stuff and all the people that I met at Berkshire, all the stuff I've done at Berkshire. And it'd be like, man, my daddy never even brought me 2-3 shares. What's wrong with this fool? So, yes, of course, I had to buy him some shares. I had to. And I would never sell them, right? So that's how I look at it. He said, I thought you two was in solidarity with I know, right? But it's all good. I'm back now. I'm back. Technical, he said, I just got Wesley Learns About Credit Online. Man, look at that. Trap. Tactical with a headlamp with a strap. I appreciate it. I donated $10. I appreciate that. But he went and got the book. I those are things I like to see, right? I like to see people go support the products that I put out. You know, that's my second book, Wesley Learns About Credit, that I released in 2017. I definitely appreciate that. Melon said, hey, Prince, what do you think about Apple splitting their stock options? The stock options? Now, you mean the stock, like option trading or just the stock itself? The option chain is going to move. So, for prime example, I own I own June 2021 400 strike price call options on Apple, right? I owned them a couple. I think I got them. First time I had them at 300, sold them, should have kept it. But I had it back then. So that 400 strike price is going to move to 100. Because for every one share you own of Apple, it's not going to turn into four shares of Apple, right? That's how we're going to look at it. I do want a Cybertruck. It just looked too big and bulky for me. I'm not a car person that much, but some people love it. Sophia Lee says, Thanks, Prince. No problem. You know what? We're going to look it up. Do y'all know how to look up to see who owns what company? I showed y'all on Insider Activity. I know you can look it up on E-Trade, Insider Activity. Shareholders Proxy, I think it shows you that too. But that's how you can tell who owns all the companies. Berkshire Hathaway is the largest shareholder in. So people are like, oh, man, investors are not confident in Berkshire. Okay. That's if you don't read. You don't know. They're a very quiet company. You know what's crazy? People get confused when government talks about clear energy. They forget government will not create it. Somebody got to profit. Yes, they're going to contract that out to somebody like Tesla. The government is not going to, you know, build its own company and fly rockets into the air. No, they'll rather put the money behind a Tesla and let them look at it. You got to pay attention. They're talking about creating a space force. Like you got the Air Force, the Navy, the Army, the Coast Guard. They're looking for a company. They get a whole military branch just for the space. And the government is not allocating their own funds there. They're looking to put companies, they're paying other people to do the research. There are companies, there are nonprofits that get grants just to generate reports that the government can use. When you read those building permit reports, a lot of those building permit reports and all the other reports are written by foundation organizations that provide information, right? Let me see one second. One second. You're right, Kendrick. Michael said Warren Buffett. See, Michael, see, there you go. You got it. Max B said Berkshire. That's true. Kendrick Taylor said Berkshire. Exactly. Amy Agord, 10-year treasury yields plummeting to its lowest in 234 years, says the Dutch Bank. Yes, that is true. The 10-year treasury yield, a lot of people pay attention to that because they're looking at the, you know, the bond yields, right? They're looking at the bond yields and, you know, they're looking at the interest rates, right? Because those, when you look at the 10-year yields, those give you a great indicator of where the bond market could potentially go and interest rates. But also, Army is interest rates at an all-time low. An all-time low. Yeah, Kendra said, I believe they added it recently. Yeah, about 2 years ago they added it. We came to hit the thumbs up button too. Trouble is, but you got to think about it. When you get the pessimistic people or the people who talk bad against stocks and say, oh, it's going to crash, a crash is coming, that paralyzes you. Fear paralyzes you. I know a crash is coming. I'm not in a position. Guess what? If a crash does come, gold may shoot up. If a crash does come, then you can buy, put some stocks, right? It could be a great opportunity for people to buy more of great companies, right? So I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, don't be worried about a crash coming. Right now, it's the time to be studying to know what you're going to buy. Study and make a hit list. You should be building your hit list of what you're going to buy. So when that crash does come, you buy it. You buy more of what's on your hit list. You create your hit list by reading financial reports. So many people come in, like people who talk against the market, They speak of stuff like Jim Kanos, right? You're going to be right. The market will crash. It crashed in March. A worse one might be coming. Who knows? But it's like saying it's going to rain outside. Since I know it's going to rain outside, am I going to go outside with an umbrella every day? No, I handle it when it comes, right? I'll put something. You know what? I look at it like somebody's like, hey, Prince, you know it's going to rain, right? Here you go. Prince, you know it's going to rain, right? Yeah, it's going to rain. Nah, you know it's going to rain. Oh, it's going to snow in Denver. It's going to snow. You know it's going to snow, right? Yeah. You know what I do? I buy me a big coat and I put it in, I put that big coat in my, I put that big coat in my closet. And when the snow does come, guess what I do? I go and grab the coat. I don't walk around with a coat every day looking like, oh, is it snowing today? Somebody says it's going to snow. It's going to be a bad storm coming. No, I keep going on by my day and I put a big coat in there. And when the snow does come, guess what I do? I grab that coat and I put it on. That's how you should be looking at. That's how I look at the investing world. Is it going to crash again? Yes. Is it probably going to crash harder? Yes. Right? But I can't sit here my whole life walking around with a coat on waiting for the next storm. No. Technical with a head stress said, I remember what Warren said. Yep, yep. He said, wish I was a larger shareholder in Apple. Don't we all? Don't we all, LK Raw? He's an 18 wide. Yes, you know. We're already in it. We're already in the middle of the pandemic. The pandemic, you know what? That's what made airlines lose their lift. Airlines, before I went off, we was all on airlines. Everybody was talking about jets and airlines, airlines, airlines. You notice airlines kind of faded away. The reason why, I got a bunch of Southwest Airlines, right? And airlines is not hot right now due to people looking at, wow, this pandemic is going to go longer than what we had expected, right? So now that we don't know when the planes are going to get back up, it may not be the next summer. If that, guess what's going to happen? That pushed everybody off, right? Airlines not as sexy. So guess what? You got to shift. What's hot right now is tech companies, the NASDAQ, the tech. S&P 500 is struggling. So guess what you do? You shift from the S&P 500, you head over to the NASDAQ. Gold is kind of getting a little hot relevance. You slide on over to gold, right? Yes, they're the largest shareholder in Bank of America. She said Berkshire owns a lot of Bank of America. Yes, they're the largest shareholder in Bank of America. Shouts out to Bank of America. They actually sponsored my foundation for our books for Wesley Learns. And yes. But I see Army of God is putting up a lot of stuff, but yeah, you're right. She said, I just look at the stocks that Berkshire own and I buy those stocks. Or you can just buy Berkshire. You can just buy, get a Class B share. Their Class B, I want to say, is about $200, but their Class A is like, I don't know, 350 some thousand, I think it is, for one share. But yeah, you can look at what they own. They own Visa. I think they're like the largest shareholder in Visa and MasterCard. They got Visa, they got MasterCard, all that stuff. But come August 15th, it's going to be big news in about 2 weeks about what companies really own. You're going to see that here shortly. Motley Fool. You know, I had dinner with Motley Fool. I met Motley Fool one a couple years ago. Cool guys. I don't know. This is my opinion, LK Raw. When a company goes public, they're looking for people with financial influence to push their product. So sometimes when I see companies come out and say, and they start talking about this one company, is usually sometimes companies market through financial influencers. Like, I've had so many emails come through me. I've never taken a sponsorship from anybody. And if I did, I would tell you. I would say, hey, you know what? I'm being sponsored by Tesla to say XYZ, right? But some people are not as honest and have the integrity. So let's say if I took my company public, the Investor Show is now a publicly traded company, and I need to pick up some steam. I may pay the Motley Fool to kind of talk about it. Sometimes that's what I look at when I see media ads on a particular stock. I look at it. I look at it as a tip, and then I would take that tip, and then I would go to, 1 second. Of course, my cousin want to call me right now. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? You see? I'm on my YouTube live right now. I'm gonna put you on air right now. So yeah. Everybody tell my cousin, hey, see, this is her. She wanna call me while I'm on live. Everybody watching me on live right now. but she want to call me to mess me up. Tell everybody, hey, Jennifer.
Hi, everyone.
Yeah. I'm like on my live, on my YouTube, my Facebook. I'm out of jail now, so, you know, everybody's getting to come back and ask me questions, all that other good stuff. So, but yeah, I'll call you when I get out of here, all right?
Okay.
All right. So that's how I look at it. I'll take what a Motley Fool says, and then I will go to, I will go what a Motley Fool says. Then I will go to a financial statement. You know what I'm saying? I will go look at the financial statements to see if it made sense. If they say, "Hey, this new company called ABC," I would take ABC. I will look at what ABC is doing. I will look at the top its competitors, and then I will look at its finances. That's how I would base it. But I don't be like, oh, they said buy this, let me go buy it. Sometimes I think that stuff be marketing. Shouts out to the Motley Fool, though. Technical headline, he said, I do need to learn about credit, actually, so I'm looking forward to listening. I don't have anything. He said, I don't know anything about credit, actually. Yes, credit, man. Credit, cash is king, credit is power. Cash is king, credit is power. When I purchased my home, I was able to get a 2.75 interest rate, not because of my income, not with whatever money I had. It was due to me having over 800 and something credit score. I had the best credit score possible. So I got a 2-something% interest rate based off of just my credit score. So your credit is power. I've known millionaires with horrible credit scores. Use credit when you don't need it. So when it's there when you need it. Use credit when you don't need it. So it's there when you need it. Even if you got the cash, I may use my credit card to go buy some gas just to keep my credit flowing, right? Until you get to a position one day where credit don't matter. Improvise. Disruption coming, combing lemonade. Geico needs to revise now. Improvise now. Okay. Maybe they need to. He said banks are closing credit cards. I mean, if you ain't buying, if you can't pay them off. And then what banks are doing, look at Bank of America statements, right? Bank of America, they put out in their report, they put companies are putting billions to the side. Banks are putting, notice bank stocks kind of stagnated because companies are putting billions to the side because they know people are going to foreclose, not be able to pay their credit cards off due to unemployment. So companies are putting money to the side, anticipating people not being able to pay them back. All right. He said, I missed the show. This is silly. My man, Michael, man, I appreciate that. Michael, way out there in Canada showing love. I appreciate that. More than I said, we're back. You're right, we're back. I was going to play a song, but then they probably flagged me for copywriting and suspend me again the same day. Oh, he said, thanks to, more than I said, thanks to this guy, I got Hal at $5 a share. Thanks, Prince. Appreciate it, man. Congratulations, congratulations. I like the sign of lemonade, LMMD symbol. I don't know who those are. I might have looked into them. I thought 08 was it. I got up to watch it all happen when the U.S. debt was downgraded. I had no money in the markets. I wish I did have money to deploy that day. I only started to invest this last year. Best later than ever. Think about it. I'm going to tell y'all. I'm just be honest. Y'all know I'm real on this show. When 08 came, I had money in the market in 07. I started investing in 07. I was buying mutual funds, large cap mutual funds, where the financial advisor recommended me. So I was just buying it. As 08 came, I just saw the market crashing. And every day I would log into my mutual fund every day, and the money just was going down, down. I was debt-free. I had nothing to do with the money. So everybody, no matter how well you're doing finances in life, you will become an investor. That's just going to happen. So I'm putting this money to the side. Every day I log in, I'm like, man, this thing is keep going down and down and down and down. My parents were not investors, you know, stock-wise. So my mom told me, son, don't mess with stocks. You don't know what you're doing. You're going to lose your money. So when I see that mutual fund just declining, and I'm turning on the news, and the news got me shaking. I'm watching the news like this because they're like, we're in Afghanistan and Iraq. And I really was in Iraq, right? Military. I'm in Iraq. I'm like, We're in Afghanistan. We're in Iraq. Gas prices are going through the roof. Lehman Brothers just filed for bankrupt. Ford just filed for bankruptcy. General Motors is looking for a bailout. All these companies are looking for a bailout. Unemployment is going through the roof. You know, JP Morgan talking about they're about to be, they need a bailout. Everybody, it was just, I was just like, I really thought the world was coming to an end. That's how the media made it seem. The media makes money off of people's fear. Look at Facebook. Facebook went up 7% due to all the protesting because everybody's sharing videos, everybody's watching stuff. So I was fearful, and I, out of my fear, I called up my broker and sold all of my stocks. One of the dumbest things I could have ever done, but I was financially illiterate. I didn't know. I didn't have that uncle, a friend, a buddy, or I couldn't tune into a podcast or a show like this that said, this is the time to buy more. I was just like, am I going to lose everything? And I can, oh my God, what's going to happen? The world's coming to an end. I was scared. Plus, I didn't understand what I owned in the first place. Right? So don't let the fear paralyze you. Let's get back into it. Another way people can make money from investing is they can dividend invest. Dividend invest is a very popular thing. You find the dividend aristocrats or the dividend kings, and you can invest if you're trying to make money. I'm sitting at home. Maybe you got a large amount of money. You can sit back and you can find companies that are paying 5, 6, 8% to invest back into you. Dividend investing. That's another way you can earn money instead of growing it, right? Let me see what y'all say in these comments. All right. Let me see. Can I catch up? Yeah, everybody, let me see here. All right. All right, so these are two questions. Army with a God. I know he's writing all this stuff in here, or he or she. So Army of God. So I look at it this way. Two questions I got for all the Bitcoiners out there. This is why I'm not on the Bitcoin train. One, what if the U.S. government creates its own cryptocurrency? What's going to happen to the value of all the other Litecoins, Bitcoins, other companies? Two, if anybody technically can create it, how does one have value over the other? If the U.S. came out with a digital dollar, created their own cryptocurrency, do you think I'm going to go buy a bunch of Litecoin or I'm going to use a digital dollar? We almost got a digital dollar anyway. I don't carry that much cash. I saw that we had a coin shortage. I don't even use coins in real life. I don't walk around with 75 cents in my pocket for what, right? I mean, those days when I was a kid and I was maybe a teenager, I may kept a little change on me. Most of my change is like in my cup holder, right? So I don't walk around with a bunch of change looking like, oh, I might need 75 cents. I don't do that, right? Change is almost, coins to me is almost like trash. You know, I don't throw them away, but if I got change, I just put it in a cup holder. I very rarely, you know, unless I'm using cash and I get change, I may throw it in my cup holder, that's it. Maybe go home, put it in Wesley's piggy bank or something like that or whatnot. I don't walk around with, oh, I need to get some change just in case. Or, oh, I want a soda, I need 50 cents. Because most vending machines take cards. So we're halfway to a cryptocurrency, digital currency anyway, right? But we're stopping the government from coming out saying, if I was the government, I would create a digital currency. We're almost there anyway. All your money is digital. Your credit card is digital. How many times I don't brought stuff with my phone? Right now I can pick up my phone and order a Uber Eats, right? You know? So we're almost there. So the rise of digital currencies could also eat away at the dollar sovereignty. Facebook is pushing ahead with this Liberian project, which China's central bank is testing digital versions of. Yeah, I believe we're pretty much on a digital currency anyway. You know, I get up, I pull up my phone, I can do everything from my phone. Their companies, majority of banks are all digital. You can open up a bank account online. You can transfer money in and out of accounts online. I can put money in other people's account. I can cash out people money. They can cash out me money. I mean, think about it. Somebody can donate to me right now on YouTube, right? Donate to me on YouTube, all that stuff. They can donate to me on Facebook. People can send money through Facebook. So we're almost at a digital currency already, right? I can live everybody in this. What do you need cash for right now? To buy gas, food, You can buy a car. Everything is digital. Everything. We're almost on a cryptocurrency anyway. It's a stock mining company, Riot, is outperforming Bitcoin. That could be a little risky. $1 said 196. Good gracious. That thing, yeah. NAI. Congrats, More knowledge. When you read that financial report, I'm telling you, you use that investor show cup, man, you would have done 10 times better. I don't even know how you did. Oh, Berkshire Hathaway is at 196. Okay. Michael said, we need an investor show index fund. Maybe one day, man. That's my dream one day, man. One day, I look at retiring from the military here in a couple of years, and I'm going to go off into the financial industry. You know, I want to do something great. You know, it's not about the finances to me. I just want to do something great and impactful with this life that I have. Weapon of choice. Max B said, hey, cuz. Oh, yes, my cousin called me. One night I said, good evening. Michael said, good evening, cuz. Yes, my cousin called me while I was on my live. Yeah, Kendra said, fool is usually late when it comes out. He's talking about Motley Fool. It could be. I met someone's guy. I had dinner with them. I forgot where I was at. I had dinner with them somewhere. Some of the Motley Fool people. Oh, wow. Yeah, Motley Fool was big on 3D printing. Motley Fool. He said 3D printing stocks. Fool was really last year. Later, those stocks fell 90%. Wow. Army, United States. Okay. Good to know. Thank you. LK Ross said, the Motley Fool sounds like your typical penny stock promoters. I wonder how much of their stocks that they suggested actually went up, you know, some crazy percent, 800. It looked like you wrote 800, something like that or whatever, right? You're right. You're 100% right. That's how I look at it too. A lot of those people are just trying to market their products or whatever, right? Sophia said, this is exactly what my mom said. I'm thinking she's talking about, I don't know what she was talking about, what your mom said. I'm guessing she's talking about we're almost on a digital currency. Yeah, we're on a digital currency. I tell people all the time, more knowledge is crying. But this is what I tell you all the time. The dollar is backed up by the military. The military, because the United States of America has a strong military. That's what the dollar is backed up by, ladies and gentlemen. If our military just disappeared today or tomorrow, our economy would collapse immediately. All of this printing of money, all this stuff that we're doing, I keep telling everybody, oh, we're backed up by gold, we're backed up by the Fed, we're backed up by the gun. We got the biggest and the strongest and the powerful and most military. There are richer, it's companies out there with all the gold in Africa. If they came out and said, we ain't taking no more dollars, you got to trade us with gold. That person will become the number one enemy of the state, and they'll probably get killed by a drone. That's the truth. We're backed up by the military. That's what everybody needs to see. That's what we got to recognize. You know what I mean? But ladies and gentlemen, I thank you guys and girls for tuning in. I'm going to go ahead and close out today's show. We talked about it today, right? We got to know the difference between growing money. Do you want to grow money or do you want to make money? If you're somebody, you can turn to find it by you learning all these things about investing. What you're learning is you can grow money or you can make money. A grower is somebody who wants to put money to the side and grow it over time. Somebody who wants to make money is I'm trying to trade this stock so I can pay my light bill, water bill. Inside of E-Trade, inside of TD Ameritrade, you can pay your bills right outside of E-Trade. You can pay your bills right outside of TD Ameritrade, right? So that's what I look at when we're looking at growing money versus making money. People who want to make money, I'm trying to pay my bills. You're going to be someone who's looking at day trading, forex trading, option trading. I forgot to mention annuities. You have annuities out there where you can place a large sum of money to get paid for the rest of your life. Annuities. So an option trader, day trader, annuity is way safer and smarter. But a day trader is someone who's going to trade every day. A forex trader, option trader, those are people over time, they usually net losses, you know. So know that what you're up against. It's like going to the crap table. Yes, people make money from it, but not everybody make money from it. You can, to make money, you can dividend invest. Buy a bunch of stocks to make dividends. You can swing trade. You can buy stocks and have a dividend coming into you every single month. Another thing you can do is you could turn the financial industry into a profession. You can start to teach others what you learn about financial statements, what you have learned about buying stocks, how to value stocks, how to open up an account, how to set up an account. You can start making videos. You can make podcasts. You can make YouTube, Facebook, make yourself a name. You can get paid for doing it. You become good at it, you're going to become paid to do it. And all this stems back to informally and formally educating yourself. I have informally educated myself by reading different books and going to different conferences and going to different things. And then I have formally educated myself by going to colleges and schools and educational institutions, earning those financial certifications. So you can informally and formally invest into yourself, right? That's what you got to look at. All right, who we got here? SSG Johnson, I think that means Staff Sergeant Johnson. He says, so I'm in the Army. I got 3 more years till I retire. What do you think I should put my money into? I have some stocks in Apple I got when I joined. So that means you got Apple stocks from 17 years ago? All right. Now, you're retiring from the military. You want to know where you want to put your money. First question is, do you have TSP? You know, first person who got TSP. Vigo! That's my homeboy right there, Vigo. Tell Vigo he need to do a song for the show. Vigo, everybody there, that's the guy when I was in it, we was roommates in Japan. Right, so shout out to Vigo. Thank you for tuning in, man. But so we're looking at it, right? Staff Sergeant, you're looking at retiring in 20 years. And you're looking at, you're going to collect a pension check for the rest of your life. How I would look at it if I was retiring in 20 years, he's saying that he has TSP. I can see that he's saying he has TSP. I would have my, if I had TSP, I would do an interfunds transfer to only the C fund and the S fund. That's common stock, that's small cap, 50-50, and forget about it. That would be me. And if you want to keep investing to it, keep investing to it. You know? So here we are looking at it. So when we're looking at, you're in the Army. I would look at, if I was looking for the next three, oh, I got to ask you this question, Staff Sergeant. I probably need you to call into the show. Not tonight, but another episode. I probably going to need you to call in. Shoot me an email to Prince, P-R-I-N-C-E, at childrensfinancialliteracy.com or DM me. So I want to break this down, right? Are you someone in these next, you're just looking for something just to, what's your time horizon? Is it 3 years? Where can I put my money? Because I need it by 3 years. Or if you're looking, where can I put my money for 20 years? Or Prince, what do I need to do to retire? I'm going to tell you all the military people out there. Most military people that retire make somewhere between 20 to 120, just guesstimating, 20 to 120 in pensions per year. So let's say if you're someone that retired and you made $50,000 a year from your VA pension and your military pension, right? And I looked at you, you said you're looking for something for the long term. Now, so you say long term, I'm looking at 10 years plus. If I was you, you don't have to do that much. I'm going to estimate you're probably going to make somewhere between $40,000 to $50,000 when you retire from the military. Depending on your lifestyle, I don't know where you live or where you want to live. Let's say first you got to figure out how much money does it take for you to retire. Let's break it on down. Let's take me for example. I retire from the military. I'm earning $50,000 a year in pensions. Say if I need $80,000. So I'm missing $30,000. I'm missing $30,000 a year, right? Since I'm missing $30,000, right? Since I'm missing $30,000 a year, what can I do to generate $30,000 a year? Because Staff Sergeant, let me tell you this right here. My dad's a retired military guy, and he never had a lot of money, but he's always had a lot of cash flow. So think about it. He gets a VA check. He gets a Social Security check. He gets a school teacher check. He gets a military check. He gets, you know, he has like five checks coming in. He don't need a bunch of money sitting in the bank. It's cash flow. So if I was you, I would look to create cash flow. So now you got to ask yourself, how much money do I need to set to the side to be able to generate $30,000 a year? And if I knew how much money you had to invest, like if you say, hey, I only have $1,000 a month or whatever, if you got $1,000 a month, you can invest $1,000 every month, right? You can invest $1,000 every month, and we can do the math calculation and say, you know what, in 15 years, because what we need to do, let's break it down. Since you know you're long-term, that's good, right? The second thing is, how much money do you want in retirement? If it's $80,000 and you're getting $50,000 pension, you know you need $30,000 gap, right? What can I do to get to $30,000 a year? When do you want to retire? Maybe you're retiring at 38 and you want to retire at the age of 50. So I know I can reverse calculate and say, I don't have my financial calculator with me now, but I can sit back and say, this person needs to earn $30,000 a year. He needs an investment that earns him $30,000 a year, and he has 15 years to get there. So I tell people, don't buy stocks, build a portfolio. He has 15 years to get to something that can generate him $30,000 a year. I can figure out on my financial calculator, tell you what that amount is, and then I can tell you what is the interest rates you need to earn on that money in order to get there by the age of 50. I'm retiring at 38, Prince. At the age of 50, I want to be done forever. Now, you don't have to do nothing crazy. We might be able to sit back here and say, all you need to do is invest $1,000 a year, invest $1,000 a month, earn 7% a month, right? Because you can take at your 30-year mark, you can go get another job or whatever career, whatever you want to do. I don't know what your plans are. That's something I got to ask you. And at 30 years, you can take, instead of your retirement check, you can invest your retirement check, invest the whole retirement check, maybe for a decade. It's going to get to a lump sum. Maybe you may get to $500,000. Now you got $500,000 by the age of 50. You can put that into a bond that's going to earn 2%, and you can draw $30,000 off of a year, hypothetically speaking. That's what I'm talking about. How much money do you want for the rest of your life? How much money do you have to invest? We can tell you what type of rate of return you need. You might only need 4%. If you need 4%, we don't need to buy crazy wild stocks. Most people buy stocks with no goal in mind. They don't even know where they're going. I know in my mind, I'm like, hey, I want to make as much money as possible for my son. So when he gets to a certain age, I can use that money to put him through community college. That's what he's looking at now, right? So I can put money through him through, hey, look, you have to worry about community college. He has autism, so he may not be able to serve in the military. I can pay for your school. Now, hey, you know, I can pay for you to become a real estate agent or get a license to do whatever you want to do. He seems like he loves video games. He may go get a certificate in computer programming and start his own computer programming business. Maybe he come does what his dad does. I don't know, right? But that's what I put money to the side for. That's what I would look at. That's why I probably would not have to speak to you in the scene. But if you're looking for the long term, it all depends on your time horizon for the long term, the interest rate, and how much do you want to make after you retire. I hope I didn't ramble too much, but I was trying to help you out there. Right? So let me go to some of these right here. Now I just got the notification that my computer is about to dial me. I don't even bring my charge into this room. Can you say LOL? Sophia Lee said, my mom said exactly what your mom said. Oh, see? Wow. Yep, that's what my mom told me. Leave that stock stuff alone. You don't know what you're doing. You're going to lose all your money. And she didn't know. Rest her soul. Rest her soul. She didn't know. She wasn't into it. She was born in the 40s. She didn't have access to it. She knew nothing about it. She bought a couple stocks when I was younger, but she never really got into it. Kendra said, don't believe the dollar is backed by the military. Research Gaddafi. That's what Gaddafi said. Hey, guys, I'm only taking gold. It's like, oh, really? I ain't taking them fake dollars no more. All right. Next thing you know, Gaddafi is being drugged down the street. Michael, what's going on, Mike? Mike said, hello, sir. Big ups to you and your family. Appreciate it, Mike. Thank you for checking in, Mike. And keep doing your thing, too, man. Keep doing your thing. Keep doing your thing, y'all. Michael Davis, what's going on, Mike? Robinhood investment is good for a newcomer. Yeah, that's not bad. Thanks. So they're buying Berkshire and BlackRock. Oh, I didn't even get a chance to talk about BlackRock. Yes, my email address is prince@childrensfinancialliteracy.com. Hopefully I get to type in here, y'all. Hopefully my computer don't dial me too fast. But I got to get out of here. I've been on live for too long. F-I-N. There you go, Mike. Max B said, I put it in the description box, my email. Max B said, good live. Welcome back. Welcome back. Appreciate it, Max B. Appreciate it. So all y'all can see, that's my email address. Shoot me that email, prince@childrensfinancialliteracy.org. But ladies and gentlemen, I got to get out of here. And into the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever y'all see me do around the globe. My name is Prince Dykes. Peace. Be safe. I'm out.